Welcome to another episode of Trench Tips. Today, we're going to be discussing the four characters you need to be on a cold call. What are the four characters I need to be on a cold call? Can't I just be myself? Aren't I good enough? Don't you love me, Mum?
I think we've learned in life being yourself is never a good idea. Be somebody
No,
else.
especially if
Before
you're
we,
you.
there you go. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple, whatever your listening device is, enjoy it. If you are watching it on YouTube, you're in for a treat because Zach, you look gorgeous today. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. Maybe get over to the YouTube channel. The four characters. So before we jump into the four character, I always like to think of it like this way. The person that you are with your family, your friends, your church group, your drama group, your football friends, your partner, we all wear different hats in different places. So there's a time where we need maybe assertive Zach, who's going to be a dad. And there might be a time where we need a playful Zach, where he's going to be a best friend. So it's all about wearing different hats in life. And that could be no more true in the world of sales, especially when cold calling.
Yes, I agree completely. I don't always agree with you, and frankly, I don't like you or trust you, but I do agree with that. So what we found is there's four characters you can be on a cold call. I'm going to talk about them all. I'll give you them up front. All right. I'll give you them. I'll tell you what, I'll give them you for free. How about
Shut up.
that? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So you've got the lawyer, the actor, the therapist, and then you've got what I've been called and you've been called many a time, the idiot.
What do you mean?
Exactly. So now you're getting in the spirit. So let's talk about the first one, all right? Let's talk about the lawyer. In fact,
So,
no. Let's do it in the right order. Let's talk about the best one. Let's talk about the therapist.
the therapist, probably our favorite person to. So, what when we think about a therapist, what are the natural traits and attributes that you would think of a good therapist? I've been in situations with therapists where all they do is talk about themselves, and let's say it didn't end well. Anyway,
No.
when it comes
No.
to a good therapist, what are some of the attributes? A good listener?
Yes, a good listener, someone who can challenge and guide someone through a process and encourages their subject to persuade themselves. That's the main thing. So if you think of it like this, and this carries over well, so therapists are designed to encourage someone to think deeply, enter that deep thought state where your responses slow down a bit. There's a lot of good question. That's what a therapist will get you doing. When you think deeply, you will then attach an emotion. And then when you attach an emotion, that's where action comes from. So that is the role of a therapist, right? They're there to, I've been an alcoholic for 10 years. Weird. And they're going to guide you through that state of thinking deeply, attaching an emotion, and then you'll discover that there is action behind that motivation. So let's put that in the sales setting, right? A CEO, big, big company. Who's he got to turn to? Or she, or they, or.
Them.
Exactly. And who's them got to turn to, baby?
Maybe no one, because we talk about this quite a lot. I remember it was a long, long time ago, but we were drunk in the back of your wife's car and she was driving, and we were talking about how
Family car.
lonely. Okay, sorry. We were talking about how lonely a CEO can be. You think about you hear it all the time, like founders and their journey. We're quite lucky, we're quite blessed, we've got each other to talk to and moan about when life is difficult. But if you are the CEO or a founder or a business owner and it's just you, and you've got a team, you might have a team of mid-management, but sometimes there's certain things that you can't talk to. And sometimes somebody being on the other end of the phone or on a discovery call and just listening to you and giving you the opportunity to vent and hear you and probably give you a level of empathy, it feels good.
Feels amazing. But That's the thing. You don't, that ability to vent. And the therapist, if you looked at a therapist's talk track on Gong or Jiminy or something, the talk track would be very, very minimal. It would just be coaching someone through things. So if you think a CEO is going to come to you with a problem that actually sounds like a load of weeds, right? The problem's in there. It's wrapped up in all the weeds, all the contradictions, all the life experience, all the limiting beliefs. It's all wrapped up in that. And the salesperson using the therapized approach is going to detangle, unclutter all those weeds. And what they're going to do is guide someone through a process of this problem. Can you give me a real example of it? And they're going to start unpicking it. And is that actually a limiting belief that's holding you back there? Is there maybe ways that you could fix this yourself? What have you looked at? Why has that not worked? Okay, this sounds really frustrating. It sounds like something else is going on. And once you forget about the outcome being, I have to get a meeting, I have to get a sale, and you just focus on detangling those weeds, getting into that deep thought state, the sale is just a byproduct of a good conversation. The sale just happens because you've just done the job properly.
I agree. It's not the 80s anymore. It's not Andy Elliott's boot camp. You can't close everybody just by shaking their hand.
Love it
doesn't
that
work
guy.
Like that. Listen to people.
If I met him and he said, take your top off at the minute, I'm looking pretty good, so I'd be happy with that.
Okay. We'll fly you out to America.
Just saying, Andy, if you're watching, ask me to take my top off, you little mug. So the next one, that's the therapist, right? So let's go for the juxtaposition, right? Lawyer. And Jack, maybe you can talk us through this one. The lawyer. Where would I bring the lawyer in? Where would I become the lawyer?
So we think about a typical TV sitcom lawyer. A lawyer's job is to challenge, to use facts and evidence, feeling less so. It's not about the feeling. It's more about the facts and the evidence. And some lawyers, I'm not going to name any because I don't want to end up in a lawsuit, but they're quite sneaky. And what they can do is they can get you into a position where you end up contradicting yourself. And when you contradict yourself, well, that opens a whole new tin of worms. So we think about the lawyer in the sales setting. Your job is to listen to things. And when somebody says, like, yeah, we recognize all of those problems, but actually we're not struggling, it's going back in and be like, okay, when you said X and you said X, what did you mean? Or I'm a bit confused. It's taking contradictory statements. I read something on LinkedIn about one guy during cold calls and discovery things was like, I never write notes. I'm always in the moment having a good conversation.
Grow up.
Schmuck. Pen and paper is going to be your best friend in sales. And the amount of, for every call I make, I usually have a page of notes. And it's different things that I can go back to. And it's like, wait a minute. They said this, but then they also said this. Like if I'm in a courtroom with a suspect and I'm trying to prove if they're guilty or not, I've got two contradicting pieces of evidence. I need to put these up against each other and see what flushes out.
You brought up a good thing that I actually wrote this down. Evidence. Okay. Now, I've got a feeling that my camera's just frozen as well. Has it?
It doesn't matter. We'll go audio, baby.
All right. We'll go audio at this point. But look, I'm frozen in a pretty good spot. The evidence you've got is the camera's frozen, but I'm still here. Okay. So, evidence, right? So I'll give you a good example of this one. A lot of people might ask sort of desired future state expectation type questions, right? Mm-hmm. So a good example of that might be like the one we use is, let's say we've worked together for 6-12 months. How would you know it was working? What would you need to see to make sure you'd spent the right amount of money, that you got the right amount of return, blah, 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 whatever it may be. Well, I'd need to have made £1 million. Okay, that makes sense. If you need to make £1 million in 6 months, probably need to understand that a bit better. What's your sales cycle? 9 months. Okay. What's your average order value? £50. Right.
Okay.
So you've got it. Where's the evidence for that statement? What's it founded in? You know, we book X amount of meetings ourselves a day. Okay. From what channel? Always wondering where the evidence is. And when we're training guys, one of the questions I always ask them is, you need to have written down somewhere, is the answer good enough? Have I seen the right answer? Am I happy with the answer? Have I heard what I need to hear? or am I just filling in the gaps myself with the bias? And that's where the lawyer would come in.
I like it. I like it. It's brilliant. It's just doubling down on those questions. Some people don't like to ask the same question twice, but it's like, it's really taking it to that layer, the fifth layer, where it gets really deep. But just because you ask a question, if they don't answer it, that doesn't mean, oh, I asked the question, I've done my job, tick. If you didn't get a good enough answer, double down, take them to the casino, double down and get a better answer.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's a good, like the thing around when I ask the question, I had a court discovery call before this with a guy. What do you want to get out of the call? It's very generic, the responses, value, I need to see the value of what you do. Da, 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 da. I think it's a great answer. And you've probably said all the right things. Just to make sure we make the most of the half an hour we've got, I probably need quite a bit more than that. And then he didn't look offended. He was like, yeah, of course, it makes sense. I'm like, okay, let me give you some specific things then. He gave me five specific things that then we explored in the call, managed to outline and move on. So just accept the answers that you're given. I see a lot of salespeople do that.
I love it. Since we've just sticking on that point, can you give me a bit more? Can you pad it out? What do you mean? Go deeper. Yeah. Get a bit more. Don't just take it at first glance.
Let's pause and see if I can get the camera back on. And just like that, the camera's back on.
Whoa.
Head of IT. Yeah, there we go. So, third character. We're going to talk about the actor. And Jack, I don't know if people know this about you, but you're something of a thespian yourself, aren't you?
Don't call me that. used to be. Many years ago, many moons ago, I feel like...
Let me ask you, what was your favourite role that you ever played in a play or a musical?
It's a great question. It's a really good question. When I was 7, I played Danny Zuko in Greece.
Okay. And people who've met you will know something about you. You're absolutely like Danny Zuko.
Couldn't so I must be a good actor.
Exactly. But somehow, Jack David Frimston somehow managed to become really cool. Like, so cool. Like, people were like shocked. They're going, that's not Jack. Oh, can't
just because you bought one leather jacket once, so you think you're Danny Zuko. Go on, stand up and show us your t-shirt tucked in. There we go. Danny Noko over there.
Not much room in those trousers, let me tell you that.
Excuse you.
Sorry, hey, come on. If the cap fits, right, wear it. But listen.
Actors, actresses.
No, listen, that's what I'm saying to you. If curiosity killed cats, why do people eat cat food? We'll find out in another episode. But let's talk about this, okay? Actors. Okay, so you a cold call to someone. You're actually in a pretty good mood, right? You're feeling great. You're feeling fine. Doggy style or 69. All that good stuff, right? Bang. The phone answers. What do you want? Stern, hard, direct CEO. You're not that guy.
I'm not that guy.
So what do you do?
I'm going to put that hat on. I'm going to be really stern. I'm going to be really direct. I'm going to sound like I'm in a bad mood as well. I'm going to sound like I pissed this guy off. Listen, Zach, I've caught you on a really bad day. Do you want to fucking hang up?
Well, you'd say it like that, would you?
Like that, yeah, man. I'm moody now. You're moody, I'm moody. I'm mirroring you.
All right. But surely people buy from people. You need to be really warm and nurturing to someone like that and kill them with kindness, no?
I'm going to tell you this right now. This is a We Ever Meeting exclusive. People don't buy from people.
Well, what's the fucking point, then?
People buy from actors.
I got into this for validation. Well, I wanted love.
You're not going to get it here, love.
Shit. Okay, right. All right. Well, let me give you another example, because surely this doesn't work for everyone. All right. I answer the phone. You're in a bad mood, all right? You've just found out what you were hoping not to find out. It's the test results. They've come back. It's terminal. 3. You didn't know that was where you get the flight from.
Oh, it's far further away than Terminal 1.
It's further away. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. People thought I was going to go somewhere else, and I use my acting skills to lead them in a different direction. So, they ring up, and the person answers, and they're really chirpy. But you've just found out you've got to go to Terminal 3. You're in a bad mood. It's not the right result that you were hoping for. The day hasn't worked out. But this person's chirpy. They're open. They want to know. Oh, it's a cold call. Yeah, go. Oh, wow, what a great approach. I love it. What are you like in return, Terminal 3?
I'm going to be so chirpy. I'm going to land a chirpiness. The thing is, I think, and this is probably a good thing with mindset and as well, if you pretend to be happy, like, eventually you'll just be a bit happy. You'll be a bit happier. There's probably something deeper in there, but like you just fake it for a little bit. You fake your emotion. It's like you can't laugh and be mad at the same time, or you can't laugh underwater. One of the two, I'm not sure.
It's the same thing, isn't it, with like motivation. You can trick yourself into, I'm not motivated to do the thing. If you just start doing the thing, before you know it, you just doing it.
You're doing the thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's just, I think this is a thing where like, one of our guys had a cold call the other day where he rang someone up. He said, it's a sales call. You can hang up or let me have 30 seconds. He went, well, can you call me back? Because I'm wanking at the moment. And he was shocked. New lad. You're shocked. Of course you're going to be. But this is where actor comes in. Yeah. This is where an actor comes into play. Can I think on my feet? I feel like any salesperson should probably go and do one improvisation class.
I've just remembered that because to give him his credit, the guy
what did he
said,
say?
The guy said to him, this is good. The guy said, he said, it's actually a sales call. Do you want to hang up? And the guy said, is it about sex?
No, this is a different one. He's had two.
What's wrong with him then? Why has he had two?
I know. But
the guy who said, is it about sex? He did have a funny response. He went, well, do you want it to be about sex?
Yeah. No, the other one before, I think that one for him, he went, I'm wanking at the minute. And he was like, oh, right. Okay. Should I call you back? And he went, yeah, give it 45 minutes.
Very generous.
Yeah, very precise. But it's about thinking. I'm not saying that you have to be a comedy genius, but thinking on the spot in those moments, a bit of ad lib, a little bit of improvisation, sounding curious, not sounding like, okay, and do you get value from this kind of thing? Blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's a really interesting point. Right. Okay. That was my.
Yeah.
If you are watching the video, I rubbed my chin there to look curious. That's what they teach you at university.
You know, one of the best actors I've ever seen is my stepdad, Jason. It's his birthday today, so we'll give him a shout out. Happy birthday, Jason. But he's a taxi driver, a very beloved taxi driver, right? And he does all these things where, like, he'll play a different character, plays a young gay man called Tyrone Malone. Like, people ring up the taxi rank, says Tyrone working. No one called Tyrone works at the taxi rank. It confuses people. Everyone has a laugh, right? But one of the things that he used to do, I used to have to sit in his taxi with him and go around, and when there was no one to look after me when I was little. And I was always amazed by how well he could make people feel like he was interested in stuff that he really wasn't interested in. He used to get out and he'd call people BWPs, boring weather people. People just getting, I want to talk to him about the weather and stuff. And he's like, you know, he's talking about it with such passion and like he's really interested. Not too much, like on their level. You know what I mean? Like really interested. Mm. And one of the things that he'll say, like, Jay, you've met him loads of times, Jason, is like people will tell him something that's really, to them, it's fascinating and mundane. He's like, and he's going like that. You're joking. Oh my, really? How long were you doing that for? Bloody hell. He's not interested at all. But that's where, you know, he's getting the tips for the taxi because he seemed interested. Gave him the time. They let them vent and moan and he was able to play that part there and then. So
people just want to be heard. That's it. We want to be heard and listened to and understood. I've got a counter argument then. I've got a point for you.
Yeah.
What would you say to the people that might say, well, if you're just acting, isn't that insincere?
We're all acting. There's no such thing as the authentic self.
Shit. I thought this was Trench Tips with Jack and Zach, not the Buddha speaks his mind.
No. There's things I can tell you. There's things I can tell Emma. There's things I can tell myself. And there's things I can't even tell myself. So who is the true Zach?
Wow. Wait, what are you telling your wife that you're not telling me? Because I'm pretty pissed off right now.
Stuff about your haircut. You probably won't want to say to your face.
Fair enough. Right, last one. Speaking of idiots.
Hey, say his name and he shall appear. I'm here. So, the idiot, I'm going to give you a scenario, right, to explain the idiot. So CEO, self-made CEO, very sure of himself, thinks he sells a very, 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 very technical product, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, look, no one's going to know this. Not some provincial bozo calling me from the back end of Wales, cold calling me, right? He's not going to get this. I'm here, Clapham Junction. I'm lean, I'm mean, I'm reading Joe Wick's Lean in 15. Okay? He's setting the scene. Whoa, I didn't even mean to rhyme that one. Anyway, he's going to talk about how great and technical his product is. And he's going to start, you know, talking about things. And rather than trying to match him and say, yeah, yeah, no, I get all that. We're also an expert in that industry as well. Mm. Well, we've worked with similar clients, all that sort of stuff. The idiot would say, okay, well, you couldn't explain that. Sorry, I don't really know what you mean by that. Okay. And they're going to start having to open up. And really what's going to happen is they either rush in, arm around you. Oh, come on. Let me coach you through this and help you. Or they rush in and say, you fucking idiot. I'll tell you even more about it to make you understand it better. Both are good outcomes because mm-hmm. they play into the person's ego that you're speaking to.
Mm.
The similarity with the lawyer position, and maybe Jack, you can talk about this, is the lawyer would say, you said this before. Now you're saying this. Those two things don't match. It's a bit more of a challenge, kind of head-on approach. What would the idiot do in that scenario? With a contradiction.
With a contradiction? Wait, I'm a bit confused because maybe I'm probably going to sound like an idiot here, Zach. Can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah.
You said this earlier, but then you also said this. What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Great one. Great one.
I've heard stories about people that when they're looking to buy something and they're sitting down for demos, they'll throw something in there and they'll say like, yeah, like we've been doing a lot with the XY247 formula recently. You're familiar with that, aren't you? And the majority of salespeople that just say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Most people nod their head and just agree to it. But people don't like people that just agree with them. Like, be curious. As we say in our office, ask a question. Wait, what do we say? We say a lot.
Yeah, mate.
Ask a question once, be an idiot for 5 minutes. Don't ask the question. You can tell it's 10 to 5 on a Friday.
What is this? You have a stroke.
Don't ask the question. You're an idiot for the whole of your life.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Should we record that bit again?
It's like in the Bible, don't walk past every dog and start barking at him.
Which basically means don't walk past dogs. And yeah, exactly. Like another good example is strategic placement of that role, right? So let's stick with that technical thing. Okay, so you wouldn't get it. What we do is really technical. I don't think someone could just get it over a cold call. Makes sense. Do you mind if I ask you a weird question?
Hmm.
How would how many customers have you got that really love you?
10.
That really love you?
Maybe 9. Derek's okay, a twat.
Yeah, he can be. So 9. So if I went and asked all those 9 people, what do you think of Jack and his company? What sort of words would they use?
Transparent, hardworking, honest, loyal, go above and beyond.
Okay. I'm really confused now, and I've not been doing this very long. Maybe I'm being an idiot, but I'm really struggling now.
Why?
You didn't say they'd describe you as technical.
That's a great point. Lawyered, shit, but idiot style.
The idiot lawyer. The idiot lawyer catches the early worm.
Think of it, who's that bloke from The Simpsons? Lionel Messi.
Mate, he's a golfer.
What? No, you know there's a lawyer who's always there, like in accident claims. He's a bit of an idiot.
Yeah, he's called Clerge Birthwaite.
Right, you just made that up, haven't you?
Clerge Birthwaite.
One of the characters. One of the characters isn't called the liar.
No,
is it?
He's called Clerge. He goes, "Hi, my name's Clerge Birthwaite. You may remember me from things like Swahili Tomorrow and Slug Manners." He says stuff like that.
No, you're thinking of Lloyd Grossman.
No, he's the one who prone to get a bit saucy on a Friday night. Anyway.
Brock Lesnar. Anyway.
Right. So we've got four characters here. We've got therapist, lawyer, actor, idiot.
Mm.
And you need to know when you got into these calls, you're hitting different objections, you're hearing different bits of information. Mm. Which role do I play? I cough.
I agree.
Good. All right, well, let's leave it there then. Thanks,
let's
mate.
Leave it there. Sorry. It's been, mate, listen, it's what? Been really good. I've really enjoyed it. I think there's been a lot of good takeaways. Feel like you could have brought a bit more to the party, but we'll do it again sometime.
What do you mean by that? Little sausage rolls?
Little sausage roll, vegan one. Vegan Scotch egg. Enjoy this episode, guys.
Enjoy it, guys. And listen, if I don't catch you through the week, I'll probably never catch you at all. Because chances are, yeah.